Charles said, I've got way too many books up here. I think he's just jealous. You know, I mentioned before that I was raised not too far from here. Actually, this is my stomping ground, so to speak. Matter of fact, I went to a school on Platte Springs Road. The building's no longer there. It's George I. Pair Elementary. How many of y'all remember George I. Pair Elementary was on Platte Springs? Yeah, I got a couple there. Good. Well, yeah, the building is gone, so that goes to show my age, I guess. But I really enjoyed going there. Actually, it was so close to my house that we walked. And believe it or not, this next statement y'all are going to have a hard time believing, but throughout my whole 12 years of school, I only got in trouble one time. Yep, Charles is giving me that doubtful look. It was fifth grade, 10 years old, 10-year-old troublemaker. And actually, I think the teacher had it in for me. It couldn't have possibly been me. Had to have been the teacher. But very first day I got in trouble in that class, she had me stay in for recess. She had me stay in for recess and write on the blackboard 50 times a sentence. So, 50 times. I was a fast writer. I got 50 times. I went out and played with my friends. That was the first time. The next time, it was 100 times I had to write this sentence. But I couldn't write all on the blackboard. Yes, it wasn't a dry erase board. It was a blackboard then, okay? But I couldn't write all on the blackboard. I had to get out a piece of paper, and I had to write this sentence 100 times. And I couldn't go out to recess till I finished writing it 100 times. Now, this is the same thing twice now. Well, the third day, stayed in for recess. This time it was 150 times. Now, I may not be the brightest bulb in the bunch, okay? But I was starting to catch on that something was wrong here. And I just went ahead and wrote my 150 times, and I was starting to realize that I'm not getting to enjoy recess with my friends. So the next day when I had to write it 200 times, I suddenly realized this is not worth it. I am missing out on my recess with my friends. They're all out there playing. I'm not out there. Didn't seem right, but I realized I must be doing something wrong by now. It must be me. First three times, it was him, the teacher. Now, the sentence I had to write, and I got to be really fast at it, and if you ever had to do this for a teacher, you learned to write all the I's first. I, and some I see some of y'all laughing now, and in must, I got really fast at it. But I must not talk in class. I apparently thought that the things that I had to say were more important than what the teacher had to say. And I wrote, I must not talk in class over and over again for those many days because I felt like I needed to be heard instead of the teacher, apparently. Now, I didn't think about that when I was 10 years old, but I did catch on to consequences. I realized there was consequences to what I did, and I went home to my mom. I didn't think it was a big deal to stay in during recess, but I went home, and I went to her, and I said, told mom what I did, told her what happened. Now, not till after the 200th time, the fourth day doing that. Yeah, I didn't tell her at first. Angel's over there going, okay. But I did. I waited till then, and I told her, and she said something that me being 10 years old, I didn't get in trouble because I already had my consequences. I didn't go home and get in trouble. It wasn't that big a deal. I just talked too much. For those of y'all that know that's a hard thing to believe. But she said something really monumental. She said, Andy, you have two ears and one mouth. You should be listening twice as much as you speak. Now, you know, I'm 10. And I'm thinking, oh, for crying out loud. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, you know, as you get older and you remember those instances, you go, wait a minute. That's an interesting statement. You should be listening twice as much as you speak. And I got to thinking about that. And something else it said to me, and you know, we have a problem with that. It's not just that little 10-year-old me. Everybody wants to be heard and wants everybody else to listen to them. They want to say what they're going to say, and they want everybody else to listen to whatever they say. And I looked up, in my commentary, I looked up to just look up, how many times in the Bible does hear, hears, or heareth, how many times is it mentioned in the Bible? It's mentioned over 1,300 times. Hear, hears, or heareth. Well, then I got to thinking about what Mom said, and I said, well, how many times does speak, speaks, or speaketh, or speak, yeah, speaketh in the Bible? Would you believe it's a little over 650 times? It's half as many times. Okay, maybe my mom was pretty smart, okay? I think she heard it from somewhere else, but she used it appropriately. But it really, as you get older, you remember these things and you think about them. And that and something else recently that came up that I'll mention later made me think about a certain area in the Bible, a certain verse in the Bible that is actually mentioned and quoted in the Bible over 20 times in the Bible. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, there's a reason for everything. And usually when they say, when God says something three times, you better listen. You need to listen. Well, this is not said three times in a row, though. It's said in different places. But still, over 20 times in the Bible, this is mentioned in the Bible, and I'm thinking, there's a reason why God's saying this. And the first thing you think, well, yeah, God wants you to listen. God wants you to hear. But I thought about it, and I thought, I think there's more to it than that. If he feels the need to say that as many times as he did, there's got to be a reason. And so I got to looking into this, and I pulled up Matthew chapter 13. If you want to follow with me, we're going to read there. We're going to read a couple of areas of this, and you know this story. We're not going to talk about the story as much as what it leads to and where I'm going with this. So Matthew chapter 13, and it reads, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him. So they got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now this was, of course, a parable that Jesus spoke. And what I want to look at, as far as this verse is concerned, is three points on it. And then the third point has three points. So we won't be here after 10 o'clock. It'll be fine. Okay? But speaking of which, since this clock up here does not work, let me put my watch down here. We're going to talk about first, which is going to be a really easy question to answer, is who are we talking to here? The second thing is, what are we saying? And then how do we do it? Okay? When talking about who, you know, like I said, many people, when they say, he who has ears, let him hear. He who had ears to hear, let him hear. Some people say, well, that's referring to everybody. Well, I don't think so. When you look at this, just this scripture alone, it talks about the different seeds. It talks about also the fact that Christ spoke in parables. And he spoke in parables because some people couldn't understand. Okay? He did that for a reason, and the ones that he wanted to hear understood the Bible. They understood what was going on here. And it also referred to those last ones, the other seeds that fell on good soil, produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So I believe he was talking to those that would actually produce. Now there's another verse I'm going to also give you that would also direct you to this. It's John 8:47. And I'm also going to read more of that parable in a minute. John 8:47 says, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God." The reason you do not hear them is because you're not of God. I believe he's talking about the elect here when you read this. I also want to read the rest of the explanation of the parable. The parable explained, if we skip over to verse 18, it says, "Hear then the parable of Matthew 13. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution rises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, another 30. Now, I think it's pretty clear who he's talking about here, and I think most of y'all knew that before I even said this, but I still wanted to read it from the scripture and explain that, because I need to spend more time on what is being said and how you understand it, okay? Because as far as hearing, anybody, well, just about everybody in the world has the ability to hear. We can all hear. But hearing also has something else to follow it, and it's called listening. So what does it mean to hear? You know, my wife tells me that I don't always hear what she says. Okay? Now, I don't know what she's talking about. You know, sometimes I listen to her intently, hear every word perfectly, like all men do. We hear everything that our wives say, and we carry on through that exactly the way we're supposed to. Right, guys? I mean, if we're watching TV or doing something else, and they come in there and they say, "Would you take the trash out?" We go, yeah, sure. Does the trash get taken out? No. It gets put off. Matter of fact, what I have had to learn to do is that whatever I'm doing, I have to turn off whatever it is I'm dealing with. I have to stop, either mute it or turn it off or whatever, if she wants to come and tell me something. Because otherwise, I don't always hear what she says. Now, we do the same thing in the world. What do? We get preoccupied. We get preoccupied with things around us. I want to throw one other note on that. And I'm getting the meddling with this before I go further. And you guys, I'm sorry, but I got to say this. There is a little thing that says that women, as an average, speak twice as much as men. Okay? Use twice as many words in a day. Well, is it possible that the reason they have to, because their husbands aren't listening the first time, and they have to repeat themselves? Now, I see guys going, "Oh, Andy, now, come on. Back off, buddy. You are meddling. You are getting into it. And I'm probably going to hear it from Charles at the end of this. Andy, you have messed this sermon up." No, "Andy, I messed this sermon up." That's what he would say. Okay? "You should never meddle like that. That's terrible." But you know, really, I mean, if you think about it, we don't listen like we should. Guys don't listen. Now, I'm not saying that women are perfect listeners either. Sometimes they don't hear it. But you know what? They're the ones. I tell people I'm thankful my wife even lets me come home. I say the house is hers. I'd be willing to live in a lean-to. Okay? So I figure the house is hers, and I'm thankful she lets me come home. Now, some of you guys are saying, Andy, you're blowing it, man. You're blowing it for all of us. No, the house is there as far as I'm concerned. It's like a nest, if you want to put it that way. But us guys, we don't always listen. Women, ladies, you don't always listen either. Okay? We get distracted by the world. What shows whether or not we listen is by what we do. Somebody can tell you all day long, if, as you well know, let's talk about the parable in the Bible about the father that told one son to go and work out in the field. The son goes, yes, Dad, I'll be glad to do that. I am the son that loves you the most, and I'll be glad to go out there and work in that field. Now, I'm exaggerating. And he goes and tells the second son, and the second son says, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, the first son did not go work. The second son did. Which one actually listened to the father? The second son. Because he went and did what his father did. He may have been rebellious, but he still did what his father told him to do. We don't listen. What does it mean? What does it mean? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We don't always listen to what God tells us to do. Why did God have to say it over 20 times? Because we're stubborn and we don't listen. And we're all that way. We're all that way. We're all about us. We are all about me. I want to go do this. I want this. I want that. I'm going to go do this. Is that what God wants you to do? You know, think about this for a second. If you don't listen to your wives is one thing. And that's not good enough. Or if the wives don't listen to the husbands, we go both ways. But when you don't listen to God, that means a whole lot more. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we need to understand this difference between hearing and listening. So if we are listening, then we should be bearing fruit. According to those verses, that should be happening. If we're listening to God and we are his followers, we are the elect, some bear 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. There are things in their life that changed. There are things that changed in their life by listening. By listening to others, you get things done. You are doing those things that they've asked you to do. We have a problem with that. We don't always listen. And I know that y'all don't necessarily want to hear that, but it's true. You know, I think about people. My dad always told me, he always said, can't never could. And he'd always say, can't is not a word. Well, in this instance, I think about a certain person that you all know called Helen Keller. Helen Keller couldn't see and she couldn't hear. But she learned how to hear through sign language. She's a miraculous person. Not only that, I recently heard that not only did she learn how to hear with her hands, but she learned, I believe it was 5 languages. Now, she could speak 5 languages. She had to learn that through hearing, through listening. But she had skills. She had, you know, you say she had tremendous skills. She used what she had. She listened the only way she knew how. But she wanted to listen so bad that she taught herself to do these things that we don't know how to do. Maybe one or two of y'all might know how to speak 5 languages. I don't know. But I don't. We can do anything we want to do. We just need to be careful about what it is we want to do. And we need to listen to the right person. That person's God alone. He's got a plan for all of us. We need to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We need to hear. So how do we hear? I refer to Romans 10, 14, 15. because it's also what do we want to hear? You've got preachers. You've got Charles is an excellent preacher. You've got a number of elders in this church, Chris and Sandy and Matt and Alton, and also we've got the other Matt and Kyle that have preached in here, as other great preachers you've heard come to this church. It doesn't matter what they say if you're not listening. How do we listen? Because verse 14 and 15, 10, you know these verses. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We're blessed with a very good preacher. We're also blessed in this day and time with a lot of means to hear a lot of sermons. But we come sometimes with the wrong attitude to those points, to those lessons, to those times we come together. Or sometimes we don't come together at all. And I do have a suggestion about that. But on how to be a good listener, we're going to talk about personally, physically, and prayerfully. How do you come to hear a preacher personally? You know, when I started coming to this church, actually, and Charles and Angela invited us, my whole life I was raised an Armenian. Even when Charles invited me to come here. And to tell you the truth, I taught in different churches. I led music in different churches since I was born. You know? And I never heard anybody talk or speak on Calvinism. At all. I didn't know what Reformed was when I came here. And Charles didn't say, we go to Reformed Baptist Church. He said, it's Covenant Baptist Church. And that's what Kay told me, too. I don't know if Kay ever mentioned, I don't know if she knew what Reformed was at that time. She may or may not have. But I didn't know. I think he snuck it in on me. Okay? So, but I came to the church listening in that other half of the building we're in right now, and I'm listening to what's going on back there. And sitting close to the back, hearing Charles preach Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and he's just going through the Bible. I think he was in Romans back then, okay? But he was just reading straight through, and he takes one word and does a whole sermon on one word. How he does that, I don't know. But we're in there, and I'm listening, and it's just straight through the beginning of that. Beginning of Romans, we keep going. Don't hear any big thing, you know. Don't even realize there's a difference until Chris Olds, who was just announced that he was going to be an elder in the church. He preaches in that other building over there. And he starts preaching about what Reformed means and what Calvinism. Now, I didn't get any of this from Charles. Chris. Chris preaches this, and I'm back there going, wait a minute, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on, you know? This was a revelation to me. And I had to really think about this thing. I'm listening intently to what Chris is saying. And it was really hitting me. And it was like, oh, this can't be right. Something's wrong here. This is not the way I was raised. This doesn't sound right. And I had to go and I had to do some studying, some reading, some looking. And Chris woke me up to this. To exactly what it means to be Reformed. To more details about Calvinism. It was everything because he went through all the basics of it right there. And it just really shook me up. It shook my whole life. It shook everything about me and made me realize something wasn't quite right. When I did the study, I found that I just was never introduced to that. It was as if certain parts of the Bible was left out everywhere I've been raised. And what I heard wasn't, it just seemed like, I mean, what I was taught wasn't a lie. It just wasn't all the truth. That's what it was. It wasn't all the truth. And I heard what Chris said. Now, I heard what Charles said, too. But that was just going straight through the Bible. It was things I'd heard before. That's the difference, because Charles was going through the Bible. When Chris presented that, it really shook me up. Now, bring up to date. Chris is preaching a year ago, not quite a year ago. Chris is up here preaching, giving another good sermon. But I got distracted during the service. He was preaching. He was doing, I can't even tell you what he was preaching about now, because I was distracted. I allowed myself something else to distract me. Matter of fact, me and Andrew, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. And we went through part of that because there was something else that was going on that reminded us of something else. And Andrew and I were like, oh my goodness, back and forth. Didn't even hear what Chris was saying. Now, I realize at the end of that sermon, I was really disrespectful to Chris. And I don't know if he remembers this or not, but I went up to him after the service and asked him to forgive me. I said, I may have even been distracting to you, and I'm sorry if I was. I said, I didn't mean to be. I said, I allowed myself to be distracted by something else. See, how to be a good listener, how to listen well, the first part is you have to be personally ready to listen. You have to be ready for what's going to be said. You need to get yourself ready. Why do you go to hear the sermon? Why are you here tonight? What did you come here to hear? And are you coming to critique the preacher? Are you coming because you want to see if he's any good? Why did you come here? Or did you come here to hear what God's word has to say? Sometimes people go to a church, and when they leave, they say, I didn't get anything out of that. You know, or that's not the way I would have preached. If it had been me, I'd have preached a different way. I would have said it a whole different way. That's not the way I would have done it. I could have done that sermon. We analyze people. What's really important? You know, some preachers in the past, I think even Jonathan Edwards, would read his sermon, would write it down and read his sermon. Well, what if you got his sermon notes and you stood up there and you read Jonathan Edwards' sermon? Is somebody going to say, oh, he's not as good as Jonathan Edwards? But you read the same thing he read. Is it the person or is it the God behind the person that's more important? Is it the lesson, or is it what you want to hear? Or is it that you don't want to hear what's said? You ever think about that? You know, I said a while ago, I was getting into meddling. I was saying, oh, is it possible that women speak twice as much because they have to say the same thing twice because the men didn't hear it the first time? Oh, Andy, I don't want to hear that. That can't be true. I am a good listener. I hear every word my wife says. Are you really? Are you personally ready when you come to a service to listen to what's said? Because there's more to it than that. The whole object is to help you change your thinking, your attitude, and your behavior. Now, let me tell you something. When a preacher gets ready in a sermon, they've already analyzed themselves about what they're saying. I see Charles going like this. See, because we spent hours going over this sermon and studying what it is that God is saying in His Scripture. We are already beating ourselves up over what's being said. We are listening while we're learning. Matter of fact, it was a long time ago. I was going to go to CBC. It was Columbia Bible College, because this was like 25, 30 years ago. I was thinking about going there. And when I went there, they said to me, they said, well, how long have you been teaching? And at that time, must have been about 25 years ago, because they said at that time, I had been teaching probably 15 years, 12, 15 years, something like that at that point. And I was teaching lessons, and it would be anywhere between 3 to 7 or 8 lessons a week to teenagers is what I was teaching. What I taught from was the Bible. I didn't use any of the books and stuff that they gave back then. But they told me, they said, if you've been teaching that long, you can probably take a test, and if you pass this test, you automatically have your bachelor's degree. You can go towards your, master's. Oh, glory. See what happens when you're up here and you don't have it written down? Anyway, you can automatically get your bachelor's degree if you take this test and pass it and go towards your master's degree. I was like, wow. Well, you know what my first thought was, as an idiot that I was, and still am at times, probably more my wife would tell you than me, but I thought, oh, well, if that's true, then I already have my bachelor's degree. I've been teaching for that long. They told me that. All I have to do is take the test. I've got my bachelor's degree. Now, let me tell you something. I went later on and got a bachelor's degree, okay, at another college. But that was my thought process. Well, if they're saying that, and I've been teaching this long, been studying the Bible as much as I have, I must already have a bachelor's degree. That was my idiot youngness coming out. But that's what they would tell you. So I must have been really that smart, just like I was when I was 10 years old. So our sinful attitude tends to extend into the sermon. We think we know it. See, we think we know. You hear the sermon. You hear what's said. Oh, we're going to hear this sermon again. They're going to tell this sermon about so-and-so. Well, if you know anything about Charles, he'll take one word and do the whole sermon like I said a while ago. It's completely different from what you thought before. Okay? And probably tonight, I'm probably going to say one or two things you may not have heard before. I don't know what that is. But you don't know unless you listen. Unless you hear. So, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears, you must come eager and ready to hear and seek for days to apply what is said to your spiritual growth. I'm going to read some of mine too. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Did you come ready physically? That's the second point. So personally, physically. Now what do I mean by that? How much sleep did you get last night? Did you come directly off of work here? Did it wear you out? Did you stay up late, later than you should have? What did you do before Sunday? Because that's the best time to do that. On Sunday, when you got there, did you stay up till midnight, 1 o'clock? Did you get up really early? Did you do something else? What did you do to get ready for church physically? Do you look forward to coming or see it as a chore? Do you look forward to coming and hearing the word? Or how do you look at it? How are you mentally prepared for that sermon? What did you do before you came? Are you taking care of the body that God gave you? And you know well as I do, if you don't eat enough, if you don't sleep enough, if you don't take care of that body that God gave you, if you don't do some exercise, you're not going to be ready for the sermon. Now some of y'all are thinking, what? Well, if that's not true, then how come people fall asleep in church? Because the first part was, why did you come, right? Thinking about, what are you listening for? How? Why? You need to ask these questions. People don't listen well when they're tired or hungry. Your mind wanders, like mine and Andrew's did. You find things. Matter of fact, I will tell you this, okay? I got to tell you this, too. You see that tree back there? How many of y'all have seen the squirrels when they climb up that tree? How many of y'all have seen the birds fly up in there? And it didn't, there's a little thing that the joke in our family is about when we get distracted, it's like squirrel. You notice the squirrels when they move. You notice the birds where they're back there. Anything that's distracting, the sign up here. Those are the things you see. And you take off and you wander off. Your mind goes in different directions. A lot of it's because you don't get enough sleep. You don't get physically ready. Okay? And you don't eat like you should. Sometimes you're hungry Sunday morning. You need to be physically ready. We put too much importance on the wrong things. Where does our mind go? Our mind wanders. That's part of the physical part too. How many of y'all have ever been in church and you start to thinking, did I turn the stove off? Or did I turn the stove on? Am I ready after church? Where are we going to eat after church? Now some of y'all are like, well, I don't do that. Not me. I wait till after church. I don't think about that stuff at all. Or you start thinking about what happened the day before or what you got to do this coming week. You're not where you should be. You're not thinking about what you should be. You get distracted. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The most important thing, when you get right down to it, is salvation through Jesus Christ. Charles says, everything else will burn up one day and disappear, and it will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. We hear all these verses and all these things, but we don't always do them. We hear and don't listen. We hear and we don't listen because we're not physically ready. We're not personally ready. There was a time when Jesus, I think it was Matthew 26, 40 and 41. And this is, of course, when Christ was praying in Gethsemane. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping after he was praying in Gethsemane. He came back to them and asked them to just remain here and watch with me. Is what it says in verse 38. We can go back to them. Verse 38 says, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, let it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you just stay awake for 1 hour? 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. If this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, this time he didn't even wake them up, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. And at that time, the hour was come that he'd been talking about when he was going to be taken away. But this was an extremely important time. And he just asked them to wait and watch. And they couldn't stay awake. They couldn't stay awake even for that. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So the last point is, are you prayerfully ready? You know, when any of us get up here to preach or to talk, we need y'all to pray for us. We pray about what we're fixing to talk to y'all about. We spend a lot of time praying. Matter of fact, I spent time this afternoon just praying that God would give me the words I need to say. But we need y'all to pray for us. We need y'all to pray for us. Prayer is an essential part. You need to pray for the preparation of the speaker and the understanding of the listener. Christians should pray for their preachers. And I wanted to, that's why I bought this book. It's a little chapter I wanted to read. And it was written by the Puritan John Angel James. And he said, prayer is a means of assisting the minister, which is within the reach of all. They who can do nothing more can pray. The sick who cannot encourage their minister by their presence in the sanctuary can bear him upon their hearts in their lonely chamber. The poor who cannot add to his temporal comfort by monetary donations can supplicate their God to supply all his needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The timid who cannot approach to offer him the tribute of their gratitude can pour their praises into the ear of Jehovah and entreat him still to encourage the soul of his servant. The ignorant who cannot hope to add one idea to the stock of his knowledge can place him before the fountain of celestial radiance. Even the dying, who can no longer busy themselves as in former times for his interest, can gather up the remaining strength and employ it in the way of prayer for their pastor. Pastor needs prayer. Continually. The pastor prays for you. There's many pastors that pray for just about everybody by name. I don't know what Charles does, but I know that we also are given names to pray for too, the other elders, and we pray for y'all. God has equipped and gifted pastors and teachers to preach his word faithfully. Because he's done this, we need to fulfill our responsibility in gathering to hear what God has to say through his servants. We have to have a proper attitude that allows the Spirit of God to bring conviction of sin and demand true repentance. Repentance will bring a desire to hear more of God's truth, which will promote growth. There's an action with all this. It's not enough to want to listen. It's not enough to want to hear. There has to be an action. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm going to make a statement. And I want you to hear me all the way through when I say this. Okay? On Wednesday nights, we have a lower number of people. Now, I know that there's people that have to work Wednesday nights. I know there's people that have to work up to late, maybe 6 o'clock, and have a hard time making it here at 7. And there's a lot of people that make sacrifices to come on Wednesday night. And I'm also going to tell you this. I also know that there's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt meet on Wednesday night. Okay? But I know also that I come on Wednesday nights because I need Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the teaching that goes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I need something halfway through the week. I'm beaten enough throughout the week, from people I deal with, things I hear, things you hear, and things that you're beaten up with. I need that pick-me-up on Wednesday night. And I'll tell you something else. I want to be here. I want to be here because you are my brothers and sisters. Now, I know I run my own business and I set my times. So I'm fixing to recommend or mention something to you. You can do whatever you want to do. But I close my office on Wednesdays at 4 on purpose. And I tell all my clients I close at 4 so I can go to church on Wednesday night. That's why I close at 4. Because I want to be here on Wednesday night. I want to be here with y'all. And I want to hear the Word of God. Now, some of y'all get off at 5 and sometimes you travel a long ways to get here. I understand that. But I'm going to suggest something. Okay? And I'm talking to those that are listening as on the line as well as those that are here. And this has two purposes of it. How do you feel if you went to your boss and said, could I get off a half hour to an hour earlier on Wednesday so I can go to church? Now, one of two things is going to happen. If you said that, if you went to your boss and said that, all right, either A, that boss is going to say, no. Okay? No, I want you here. Okay, but even if they did say no, you know what you've said to them? Church is important to me. It's important for me to meet with the other people in my church. So even if you can't get off, if you said that one thing to them, you're making a statement about your belief. Now, the other thing they could say is, oh, okay, I didn't know you wanted to go to church on Wednesday night. Okay? What time do you want to get off? Now, if that happened, some of y'all would probably fall on the floor. But it could happen. They may let you off in half an hour to an hour early to come and worship with us at the church here. Because I'm going to tell you something. You need to stand up for what's important to you if God's important to you. You need to make a statement. That's part of the problem of why we are where we are today. Because we're not listening. Because listening requires an action. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It requires an action. You have to let them know what you believe. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing, and that's the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's it. So any part time you have an opportunity to share that one way or another with your boss through this means or just somebody you work with, that shows you're listening. Because what did God tell you to do? What did God tell me to do? And you can't listen if you're not ready to hear. Does that make sense? You can't listen if you're not ready to hear. So you need to do it personally, prayerfully, physically. You need to be ready to come to church and listen to what's being said. And you need to come to church and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we need to listen. We need to hear what you have to say. Sometimes we don't want to hear. Sometimes we don't want to listen, but your word has to be heard, Father God, and all of it, and not just the parts we want to hear. We can't just come before you and say, God, I don't like that part. We need you to direct us, always. We need you to give us your wisdom and not the wisdom of this world, because there is very little wisdom in this world. You are the great I am. You're the creator of this world. You know how everything works. We need to listen to you. We need to hear you. We need to listen to you, Father God. But we have to be ready to listen. And we ask for that direction. We ask for you to help us to be more ready and willing to hear and listen to your word. And how it's preached, what's said. God is Father God. And then help us through our actions throughout the week to show that we heard what you said, that we listened. We are listening, Father God. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you most of all for salvation through your Son, Jesus. And ask that you just help us to share that. Show that we're listening by sharing that with others. Help us just to grow closer to you as a church. Help us to make wise decisions that will glorify you and bring you praise. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.